Welcome, everyone, to the Webster Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is the Webster Application Server Understanding Message-Driven Beans in Service Integration Bus. Today's presenters are John C. Cola and Ty Schrake. John C. has been working with IBM for 7.5 years. She started working with the MQ Level 2 support in 2006, and for the last 2 years has been focused on supporting the Service Integration Bus and Webster Extended Deployment groups of products. Ty has been working with IBM for over 19 years and has been with the Level 2 support team for Service Integration Bus since the release of the product. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to John C.
Thank you, Kathy. Hello, and good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for taking time and attending this presentation. Today, we will discuss about understanding message-driven beans and how they consume messages from service integration bus destination and troubleshooting MDBs in service integration bus. Before starting, I would like to thank to my colleague and co-presenter, Ty Schrake, for helping, collaborating, and getting this presentation together. This presentation is intended to be mid-level technical, and we hope audience has some basic knowledge and understanding of service integration bus and its functionality. Slide number two. Yeah. Today's agenda consists of details about JMS receiver applications, discuss about high-level view of message-driven beans, what are the advantages of MDBs, what is inside of MDB, and details about basic MDB message processing, what are resource adapters in WebSphere application servers, what are activation specifications and how to configure them in WebSphere application server version 7 and version 8. At this point, I will turn over the presentation to Ty Schrake at advanced features of activation specifications, details about MDB delivery retries, scaling and their problems, how to trace MDBs and checking MDB on message activity in traces, how to find out MDB hangs, other problems inside of on message method, and finally wrap up this presentation with any questions you may have. Let's move on to slide three. Next slide, please. Okay. In this slide number three. Okay, thank you. This slide talks about the introduction of MDBs. As per JMS standards, MDB is normally a message consumer and contains primary method of on message. MDB is an asynchronous message consumer from JMS destinations. Understanding what MDBs are, how they work, and what to expect will greatly improve your ability to understand and troubleshoot some very common and basic problems and some deeper problems of MDBs and JMS-related issues. Next slide, please. Slide number four. JMS receiver applications. Before MDBs were introduced, JMS receiver applications were used to consume messages. JMS applications called the JMS receive methods to consume messages from a JMS destination. These applications required their own connection code connection factory and a JMS destination, either queue or topic information. JMS application gets these connection factory and JMS destination information from either LDAP server or pass to the application to use these information to connect to the bus and attach to the JMS destination. If you had multiple JMS receiver applications, each of them required to have connection code, connection factory, and queue or topic definition information. This could be an administrative burden to the application MDB developer, and it made these applications less portable. As mentioned in this diagram, traditional JMS receiver application, left side of this diagram, JMS receiver application, connects to a LDAP server, bottom of the diagram, to get the JNDI objects like connection factory and queue objects it needs, and then use these objects to connect to JMS provider and consume the messages. The connection factory tells the JMS application where to connect to on the network, and the queue or topic object information tells the application what queue or topic to attach to. The names of these objects had to be either hard-coded or passed to the application code. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 5. This is the continuation of the JMS receiver applications from the previous slide. One of the main reasons for creating message-driven beans was to avoid directory including the connection logic and specific connection data in the application. As we discussed in previous slide, for JMS applications, they require to have connection code, connection factory, and JMS destination information. MDBs don't need all these and make it very simple for application developer. All of the connection and object information has been removed from application and is now managed by activation specifications. We will discuss more on activation specifications in later slides of this presentation. Not only this make the application smaller and simpler, it allows application developers to focus on their business logic rather than complicated connection code. As we discussed, message-driven beans don't need any connection code and no need to, so it doesn't have to connect to LDAP server. Instead, a JTA resource adapter does this on behalf of the bean. The name of the resource adapter to connect to the SIB messaging, JMS messaging provider name is SIB.RA.RAR. The resource adapter acts as an interface between MDBs and JMS provider. In this case, the resource adapter looks for an activation specification stored in JNDI that has all the necessary connection information in it. As mentioned in this diagram on this slide 5, there are mainly three parts in the message consumption. Number one, JMS provider and JMS destination at the right side of the diagram. Number two, the resource adapter in the middle, which acts as a middleman between the JMS provider and MDBs. And the third one is MDB, which runs inside the EJB container of a J2EE JVM. We will talk more on resource adapter in later slides of this presentation. Let's move on to next slide, slide 6. Okay. This slide talks about the advantages of MDBs. Before we talk about the advantages of MDBs, let me tell you the basic and important features of MDB. Number one, MDBs don't need any connection code to consume the messages from a JMS destination. Second important feature is all MDBs have primary method named as onMessage. We will discuss more on this onMessage method in later slides. And the third one is MDBs can run only in J2EE JVM, not J2SC JVM. And the last one is MDBs run inside of an EJB container. Okay, let's talk about the advantages of MDBs. MDBs are pretty small and simple. By default, they don't have connection code in them. So because of this reason, these are lightweight, small runtime, and low memory footprint. They don't start until they are actually needed. So this saves the memory. And MDBs are very easy to develop and well suited to the agile development model. MDBs allows developers to focus on business logic rather than complex connectivity and transaction code. These are highly portable between systems and different JMS providers. Many instances or copies of the bean can run in parallel to consume the messages from the same JMS destination. This is called MDB concurrency, which improves the performance in heavy environments. Offloads messaging responsibility from EJBs that performs business logic, business processing. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 7. Let's discuss about what is inside of an MDB. MDBs are specifically designed to take the load off from larger applications that are busy with business logic and do some database updates, order confirmations, etc. As we talked before, the most important and primary feature of MDB is the onMessage method inside the bean code. This is the MDB entry point where code execution begins. This onMessage method is like the entry point, or you can say as a doorway into the MDB, and is used to accept messages that are passed to it. The method basically looks like, as mentioned in this slide, public void on message javax.jms.message. On message method is by default unimplemented. What that means is when you create a MDB, this method is included in the bean code by default, but it doesn't do actually anything with the message object that is passed to it. There is no code in the message by default. The do part of this onMessage method need to be written and by the application owner or MDB code owner. And this is the responsibility of the most of the times by the customer's MDB developer. Notice that the message takes a JMS message object as an argument. What that means is JMS message is passed to this on message method, and then method performs some action or series of actions on that messaging object. Once the message object is passed to this on message method, MDB owns the message and any processing done with the message. Once this message processing starts, the message is completely owned by the MDB and it is completely outside of the control of the any WebSphere core. WebSphere code, SIP code, and outside of the IBM WebSphere core. Note that there will be other methods in the MDB as well, but usually this is the method that both IBM and customers are usually concerned with. Let's move on to next slide, slide number eight. Okay. These are the basic message processing steps from SIP JMS destination to MDB. Step number one. Once message is arrived to or message is already available in SIP JMS destination, it informs the message arrival to SIP resource adapter, which is SIP.RA.RAR. We will talk more on SIP resource adapter in a later slide. Once the message is arrived on the SIP destination, the SIP resource adapter thread receives a copy of the message from the JMS destination and calls the onMessage method of the MDB that is using this SIP resource adapter. When it calls the onMessage method, it passes the copy of the message object to the method. Please note that this is not sending the original message. This is passing just the copy of the message to the SIP resource adapter. This is and from resource adapter to MDB onMessage method. This is called delivering the message to MDB. Note that EJB container the MDB runs in coordinates this action. Step number two. Once the message has been delivered to MDB, it is the responsibility of the bean to process that message. The MDB then extracts the customer data from that message and begins processing that one. It might involve calling other methods in the MDB or passing the message data to the other applications like database updates, order confirmations, etc. It might also include making connections to external resources, just now as mentioned, database or web server, web services, or to some other applications. Generally, in normal circumstances, this should not take very long time. Approximately, it takes a few milliseconds. If processing the message takes long time, then this indicates a possible problem with the processing inside of the MDB. Then, step number three. In most cases, if the MDB passes the customer data to another application or connect to an external resource, it must wait for that application or that resource to complete its work before it can proceed further. Step number four. Once the message processing is done, the onMessage method completes and passes the control back to the EJB container. Then the EJB container notifies SIP and SIP deletes the original message from the queue. note that earlier we just delivered the copy of the original message. Original message was still on the JMS destination. So once we get the confirmation back, then SIB deletes that message from that queue. The next message on the SIB destination is delivered to the MDB. This process is repetitive again and again for each message, and go to the next message delivery. In step number 2 and 3, if there is any problem in message processing, the message is rolled back to the sending queue. At this point, due to the failing of transmitting the message, the resource adapter again try to send the message after its retry interval is expired. For example, if the retry interval is 10 seconds, it will wait for 10 seconds and then again it will try to deliver the same message to the MDB. In this way, it resends the same message up to 5 times by default. After 5 times, it sends the message to the exception queue. You can change this message, maximum message retries in activation specification. This is how the message processing cycle happens from the JMS destination to the and inside of the MDB. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 9. Resource adapters. Before we get into the resource adapter details, let me tell you the history behind the JCA, Java Connector Architecture Resource Adapters. Before J2E, when a customer needed to access the information from the other systems, such as other enterprise systems, they or the vendor had to create a custom interface, custom API, to connect and access the information from the other enterprise systems. If you have so many different enterprise systems in existence, if this will be a huge problem because each one has to create each API in order to access that information. So the creation of the J2EE resource adapters solved this problem by creating the standardized interfaces that everyone can use. This is the history of the JCA adapters, resource adapters. You may recall the earlier we said that the, by default, MDB have no connection code in them. So you may be wondering how MDB is connected to a JMS destination to consume the messages. The answer is the resource adapter. The resource adapter is a component of a J2EE connector architecture, JCA. The architecture defines uniform way to integrate J2EE application servers with enterprise information systems and applications. Vendors, customers, vendors, whoever want to get the access the information, no longer have to customize their products to interact with the application servers. In a nutshell, resource adapter allows various application servers and enterprise systems to connect to each other in a standardized way. All vendors use the same architecture to connect to the application servers. A resource adapter is a connector program that connects to a service integration bus and attaches to a JMS destination. It then reasons on that destination for any messages that are already on the destination or arriving to that destination. Once it detects the message, it gets a copy of the message and passes it to MDB. We call this as delivering a message to MDB as discussed before. We also say that MDB consumes the message and note that the resource adapter can only do this with the help of the EJB container where the MDB runs in. Here in this diagram, there are three parts. One is the SIP JMS provider, and the second one is the middle part, SIP resource adapter, which acts as a middleman, and the name of the SIP resource adapter is SIP.RA.RAR file. And the third part, extreme left side, MDB runs inside of an EJB container. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 10. Okay, continuation of the resource adapter and recap. When the SIP resource adapter detects a message on the SIP destination, it gets a we already discussed that it gets the copy of the message and then calls the onMessage method based on the activation specifications configuration. Recall that this method takes the JMS message object as a parameter. So when the resource adapter calls this method, it passes the copy of the message to the onMessage method. This delivers or passes the message object to the bin. At this point, MDB completely wants the message and is usually executing either customer code or third-party code. It must process the message successfully in order to have another message delivered to it. If it fails to process the message, then we need Java course to troubleshoot the issue. My colleague Tai Shrek gave the good web presentation on stuck messages. You can refer that one in the if you go to the previous besties in the same WebSphere Technical Exchange website. Next slide, slide number 11. Okay. Activation specifications. Some basic information about activation specifications. You may be wondering how the resource adapter knows where to connect on the network to connect to a bus and what JMS destination to attach to. Somehow, resource adapter must get this information in order to work properly. The answer is the activation specifications. The activation specifications has that information and informs the resource adapter about this. An activation specification is a definition or object stored in JNDI. These activation specification configuration parameters are stored in the resource.xml file in VAS configuration files. It stores the connection parameters that are passed to the resource adapter in VAS so that resource adapter can create connection to a bus. In other words, activation specification is an object or definition that configures resource adapter so that resource adapter knows what to connect and where to connect on the network. When resource adapter starts, it reads the configuration data inside the activation specification and configures itself using that information. It is important to understand that activation specification is not a runtime component. You cannot start or stop an activation specification. It is just a static definition and configuration part stored in the JNDI that is used to configure resource adapters. It is not a piece of code that executes. As mentioned, this data is stored in resource.xml file as a JNDI object. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 12. Okay. WASP version 7 and version 8 activation specifications. Service integration technology is introduced in WebSphere version 6. In version 6, an activation specifications could only be configured to SIP. There was no connectivity activation specifications to MQ. In WASP version 7 and 8, activation specifications can also be configured to connect to WebSphere MQ as shown here in the screenshot. When you create activation specification, you are given a choice to connect to either SIB or WMQ. As shown in this screenshot, to create a new activation specification, navigate to resources, JMS, activation specifications, and click on new button. Here you have an option to choose either default messaging providers, which is SIB, or MQ messaging provider. If you select default messaging provider, activation specification uses the SIB resource adapter, SIB.RA.RI5. And if you select WebSphere MQ as messaging provider, it uses the MQ resource adapter. The name of the MQ resource adapter is WMQ.JMS.RAR. Let's move on to slide 13. This is continuation of the same activation specifications. An activation specifications allows you to connect to connection point and you to connect in the same configuration panel. The activation specification is stored in JNDI, just like a connection factory. You must configure the JNDI name of the destination, JMS destination. It will listen on and the name of the bus the resource adapter will connect to. This screenshot shows the same thing, the JNDI destination and bus name need to give in order to configure the activation specifications. Let's move on to slide number 14. Activation specifications, continuation, provider endpoints. You need to configure at least one endpoint, provider endpoints, where to connect on the network. This is where the resource adapter will connect to. This is configured here in the provider endpoint section. A comma-separated list of endpoint triplets. What that triplets means is it is each provider endpoint contains three parameters. The first part is host name, and the second part is port number of the SIB endpoint address on a server with the SIB service is enabled, and the third part is the connection protocol. Bootstrap basic messaging is the default one. If you intend of connecting using SSL, the protocol is Bootstrap Secure Messaging. This triplet, host name, port name, and protocol, is used to connect to the Bootstrap server. For example, localhost 7278 Bootstrap Basic Messaging. Okay. provider endpoints are not used unless the specified bus cannot be found in the local cell. MDB's first attempt to connect the specified bus in the local cell, if this attempt is failed, then it sees what are the provider endpoints in the activation specifications that are used to allow applications to consume messages from a remote cell based on the configuration parameters you give here as provider endpoints. If the host name is not specified, by default it takes the local host, and the port number, the default port number is 7276, and the default connection protocol is Bootstrap basic messaging. Note that you can configure the multiple provider endpoints by using a comma-separated endpoint. For example, as mentioned in this last line of this slide, we have defined two provider endpoints. Localhost 7276 Bootstrap basic messaging is the first one, and the second one is localhost 7278 Bootstrap basic messaging. If the first one is not available, it will try to connect to the next provider endpoint. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 15. Okay. This is more on the activation specifications and continuation from the previous slide. How to find out what activation specification MDB is using? Every MDB includes a deployment descriptor, which is a configuration file in XML format, usually named as ejb-jar.xml. This file specifies a number of other things, including which activation specification that MDB will use. This information can be found in the admin console by navigating to this path. If you go to the applications, enterprise applications, name of your MDB, message-driven bin, listener bindings. The listener bindings column on the right side of this screenshot will show which activation specifications your MDB is using. Here it is activation spec 1. ACT spec 1 is the activation specification your MDB is using. That's it up to the activation specifications, and at this point, I would like to turn over the presentation to my colleague and co-presenter, Tai Shrek. Rest of the presentation is yours, Tai.
Thank you, Jyoti. Appreciate that. Good morning, everyone. This is Tai Shrek. I'm with the SIB Level 2 team. And before I continue, you may have noticed that some of the items in this presentation are sort of repeated, the key items. For example, the concept of message delivery, the function and importance of the on-message method, and so on. That's all deliberate. The idea here being that if you hear the highlights or the key points more than once, you'll recall them. Those are the things you really need to know about. And now that we've moved on to slide 16, Activation Specification Advanced Features, I'll take it from here for the rest of this presentation. And I'll just read this and then comment a bit. It says, many MDB problems are related to MDB performance. Message consumption is generally slower than message production. In other words, getting messages off of a queue is usually slower than sending them to a queue. And since MDBs are message consumers, we often see performance problems with them. Activation specifications have a feature to help with this called maximum concurrent MDB invocations per endpoint. The default value is 10. Now, some of you, or maybe many of you, are probably already familiar with this, and some of you may not be, but this is a very important feature. And the way you get to it is through that path there, resources to JMS, activation specifications, and then your activation specification. That's in the WAS admin console. And in the activation specification configuration, you'll see that little field right there that says maximum concurrent MBB invocations per endpoint, which is a fancy way of saying the number of message-driven beans that are running against a particular queue or topic. Real quick note, if strict message order must be maintained, this value should be set to 1. The default is 10, so you need to change it to 1. Doesn't happen very often with customers, but it's worth mentioning because if you have it set to anything other than 1, it's going to go very badly for you very quickly. Moving on, it says this means that up to 10 instances or copies of the same MDB can run simultaneously. While one instance of the MDB is busy processing a message, one of the other instances can consume the next message. This can greatly increase the rate of message consumption. Each MDB instance runs on a different thread, and using more than one MDB instance is sometimes called MDB throttling. You may hear that term now and then. So just real quickly, there's two ways to, or more than two ways really, to perform or improve MDB performance. One way is actually in the MDB code. That, of course, is entirely on the owner of the code. But WebSphere can help you a little bit by, if you use this property here, this basically it's a tune parameter that allows you to have more than one instance of the application consuming messages simultaneously. Keep in mind that if you increase this, it's going to require additional resources. And I've seen some customers run as high as 40 or 50 invocations per endpoint, meaning 40 or 50 copies of their MDB application. If you have the memory resources for it, you're free to try it. 10 is good for most installations that I've seen. That doesn't guarantee that 10 will be actually running. The EJB container has an algorithm that checks performance and whether or not you need additional MDB instances. So what that means is that if you leave this, for example, at the default number of 10, you may not actually have 10 instances running. You may have 7 or 8 or 9 or 4. It's up to the EJB container. So this is not hard coding. It's a maximum number, which is why it's called maximum concurrent MDBs. So setting this doesn't guarantee any specific number. Lastly, last paragraph, it says, unfortunately, there's no simple way in WAS to see how many MDB instances are running. One way to see is with Trace or Java Cores. Java Cores is probably the easiest way. However, in the PMI tool that comes with WAS, there is a live count counter under the Enterprise Beans section that will show you the total number of beans running in a particular JVM. If the only thing you have is message-driven beans in a JVM, then that will tell you exactly how many instances you've got. If you've got other things in there, other EJBs, session beans, and so on, it's going to mix in with that live count value, so at best it'll be an approximation. So in any event, this feature will help you increase performance. The default value is 10. You can set it higher if you think you're having a performance problem, although it's been my experience that most of the time performance problems start at the bean itself rather than this value. So if we can move on to slide 17, please. Okay, a little bit more about advanced features. Reading at the top, it is also possible to pause and resume the resource adapter. When you pause the RA, it stops consuming messages from the destination, but the MDB itself remains running. You might want to do this to give an MDB time to complete processing a message or maybe to stop it for some reason. Afterwards, you can resume the resource adapter and message consumption from the destination will start again. To pause or resume it, you follow that path there that you see in the WAS admin console. And when you get to that point in the console, this is the display that you'll see. And you'll notice there's a pause and resume button in the upper left corner of that little panel. This is not a feature that's used very often. It comes up very infrequently, but it's there if you want it. It's there if you need it. Most customers, again, don't use it, but you never know. It might come in handy sometime. Next slide, please. Slide 18. Okay, another advanced feature which some of you may know about. Another important property is the MDB server selection rule. And in the admin console, it says in the activation specification again, you'll just see a little checkbox that says always activate MDBs in all servers. And it's kind of mixed in with a bunch of other fields and checkboxes and so on. So it's kind of inconspicuous, but it's very important. Reading the paragraph there, it says, by default, this option is not enabled, which means that the only MDBs that will run are MDBs that are on the same server as a local messaging engine. If you enable this option, then all MDBs on all servers in the cluster will start and connect to the messaging engine, even if there's no local messaging engine. In other words, the MDB is on one server, the messaging engine is on a different server. This can produce a significant performance improvement, and it better utilizes the available capacity in your servers. So this is a little bit like maximum concurrent MDBs per invocation, which we just looked at. Basically, what it does is increases the number of MDBs that will run and connect to the destination in question. So from a performance standpoint, this is a good thing to have. This feature was available starting in WAS 7. It was not available in earlier code levels. So if you're at 6.1 and you want this, you'll definitely want to get to WAS 7. Next slide, please. Slide 19. Okay, deployment descriptors. Chauncey brought this up a few minutes ago. I just want to kind of touch on it again because with regard to MDBs, it is pretty important. It says the activation specification tells the resource adapter where and what to connect to. But how does the resource adapter know which MDB to deliver messages to? Well, when an MDB is created, it usually also includes an XML configuration file called the deployment descriptor. Technically, this file is optional, but with MDBs, it's pretty much always going to be there. The default name for this file is ejb-jar.xml. This file can include a variety of information, including the name of any JMS resources, such as an activation specification the MDB will be using. So when the MDB is deployed or installed into WAS, the EJB container maps the activation specification named in the deployment descriptor with the MDB that owns that deployment descriptor. This allows the container to know which activation specification to use with each MDB. This is a little more technical information. It doesn't come up very often in the course of actual problem solving, but it is good to know that MDBs use deployment descriptors, and in those deployment descriptors, the JMS resources that the MDB will use is often specified in that deployment descriptor. So sometimes that can come in very handy if you're trying to sort of reverse engineer a configuration where you may not know much about it, but by looking at the deployment descriptors, you can see which beams are attached to which JMS resources. Okay, slide 20, please. Okay, MDB delivery retries. Let me just give a high level about this real quick. As you know, what Jonsi discussed, one of the things she touched upon several times was message delivery to a beam. In other words, the resource adapter detects that there's a message on a queue or a topic and then, quote-unquote, delivers it to the beam. It's sort of like a piece of mail. It passes the message or a copy of the message to the beam. Well, what if the beam, for whatever reason, can't process it? Well, then the resource adapter will automatically try to redeliver it. And so that's what this slide is about. So reading from the top, it says, sometimes message delivery to an MDB may fail for a variety of reasons. We'll talk more about that in a second. Destination definitions allow you to control how often message delivery to an MDB is attempted and what happens if all delivery attempts fail. The destination definition will show the following settings by default, and there's how you get to your destination definition in the admin console. And if you look at the panel there, the green circle is around maximum failed deliveries per message. The default is 5. My recommendation, just based on my experience, would be to leave it at that. 5 seems to be a pretty useful number for most people where you make a reasonable number of attempts, and if it fails, then we put the message on an exception. exception destination. In other words, move the message off of the destination and store it on another destination where we can look at it later. Some people have this set to one. I don't recommend that because it doesn't give the message-driven being very many opportunities to try. And some people have it set to a very high number. I've seen it set as high as 5,000, which is, I wouldn't recommend that either, because the higher you set this, the more time is spent on these redeliveries. And I believe the redelivery attempts are tried every 5 seconds. So if you have it set to a very high number, for example, 5,000, like I saw one time, then you're going to have to multiply 5,000 times 5 seconds, and that's the total number of time that will be spent trying to process that one single message. And obviously that would have vast performance implications if you did that. So if you plan on increasing this, I would still keep it at a fairly small value if possible. So like as it says on the bottom, the default value is 5. These settings mean that the resource adapter will attempt to deliver each message no more than 5 times. If all 5 of those attempts fail, the message will be placed by default on the system exception destination, or whatever destination you've configured as the exception destination. It doesn't have to be the system one. One other thing, too, a question that occasionally comes up in connection with this is that when a message fails to be delivered to an MDB, in other words, you make a delivery attempt, it gets rolled back, you do that 5 times, and then eventually, after those 5 times, we decide, okay, that's enough, we're going to put this message on a different queue, an exception destination, so it can be looked at later. One of the questions that comes up fairly often is, well, does WAS or SIB have some sort of a tool or anything like that that will look at those messages on the exception destination and then do something with them? The answer to that basically is no. You can look at the messages on the exception destination, and when you do, if you look at the inside the message where you can see all the header information and so on, one of the things you'll see in there is a reason field or a feedback field that tells you why the message was put on the exception destination. So you get some sense of what the nature of the failure was. It's not terribly specific in most cases, but sometimes it's quite specific and helpful. So if you have messages on your exception destination, you can see why they were put there by looking at the message information, by clicking on the message and then displaying its message data. But there's no tool built into WAS to handle those messages. In other words, do something with them. For that, you would need your own application. But a simple MDB will do the trick for you. Just deploy another MDB that simply consumes the messages off the destination and then connects to SIB and sends them to whatever destination you're interested in. That's fairly common practice. The other thing you can do is use the SID Destination Handler tool, which is free on DeveloperWorks. You can do a variety of things with the messages with that tool, so I highly recommend that if you're not familiar with it. That's about it for the exception destination, so let's move to slide 21, please. Okay, MDB scaling, we've kind of talked about this, but it is really important because of the performance implications of consuming messages, and it says from the top, message consumption is inherently slower than message production. That's crucial. So whenever possible, you should scale your MDB message consumers. This can be done by deploying your MDBs to a cluster that is separate from the messaging cluster. If the bean is deployed at cluster scope, then the more servers you have in the cluster, the more MDBs will run. When using this configuration, be sure to enable always activate MDBs in all servers. In the activation specification used by the MDB, we talked about that a few minutes ago. More information about this can be found in another technical exchange presentation. It's called Ask the Experts Replay, Service Integration Bus Scalability Best Practices. So in other words, this whole concept of scaling MDBs is discussed in more detail in a different technical exchange presentation. Just link to it there. But it's important that you understand that scaling MDBs is frequently a necessity because message consumption is always slower than message production. So, in other words, pulling messages off a queue is way slower than sending messages to a queue. So let's move on to slide 22, please. Okay, MDB problems. I will tell you, I've been with SIB since the product was released or included with WAS, and I was with the messaging code before that even. And MDB issues or MDBs or issues associated with MDBs are very, very common. We see them frequently, and that's one of the reasons for this presentation. Some customers are fairly knowledgeable about this kind of stuff, but a lot of customers aren't, and so we're trying to remove the mystery and provide the basic nuts and bolts knowledge you need about MDBs to understand your problem. So let's start at the top. It says, unfortunately, problems with MDBs are very common. The usual symptom is that is first noticed is an accumulation of messages on a destination. I'm sure many of you, if not most of you, have seen that before. This typically has three causes. Number one, messages are being sent to the destination faster than they're consumed. In other words, there's more input than there is output. So if you have faster input, messages are going to start stacking up, because they're simply being added to the queue faster than they can be removed. Number two, the consumer MDB is hung or otherwise inoperable. We see a fair amount of that. We'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. Number three, the MDB is not running. Sometimes we see that. It's a good idea to see if the messages on the queue are in a locked state on the destination for a long period of time. In other words, when you go, if you know that you're getting a lot of messages on a queue, when you go into the WATS admin console and you look at the you can list the messages on that queue. It's very simple to do. When you look at that list, it'll show you the state of the messages, and that state will tell you a great deal about what the problem is. Sometimes they're locked. Sometimes they're available. Sometimes they're in a different state. Continuing on in this paragraph, for a destination for a long period of time, if they are, then the MDB may be having problems if the messages are in a locked state. At this point, it's a good idea to start tracing Gather Java cores. You may also want to review this technical exchange presentation that shows you exactly what to look for and what actions to take. Service integration bus and stuck messages. I gave this presentation, I think, a couple years ago. And anytime you have messages that are stuck on a queue, that's the term most customers tend to use, is stuck. They don't say accumulate. That's the term I use. They usually say the messages are stuck on a queue. Well, if you look at that presentation right there that I've linked to, it'll tell you what to look for to figure out why those messages are stuck and what actions to take to move forward with the problem. Having said that, the following slides will help you diagnose most MDB-related problems. To get your foot in the door with looking at MDB problems, I've included a bit of troubleshooting information. So let's move on to slide 23, please. Okay, first thing is tracing MDBs. Anytime you have MDB problems, there's two basic tools that you want to use. Number one is trace. Pretty much everybody knows that. I'm going to show you a bit about that that's going to help you sort out what is going on with your MDB. The second thing is Java cores. Java cores tend to be a much bigger mystery for most people, but I'm going to show you a sample that's a real-life example that will show you how to read a Java core or how to interpret the information in a Java core so that you get a better understanding of what your MDB is doing. So starting at the top, it says tracing MDBs. Trace parameters for MDBs are specified in the logging and tracing configuration for the JVM the bean is running, and you probably know that. Enabling dynamic trace on a running server that does not require a server restart is done in the WAS admin console. To trace messaging activity for the bean, in other words, message deliveries to the bean, use the following trace string. And you see that trace string there is pretty comprehensive. There's seven or eight parameters there. And notice, though, on that first line, it starts off with star equals info, SIB processor, SIB message trace, of course, SIB communications, and then the last one on that top line is SIB RA. That RA means resource adapter. So in other words, if you're tracing the resource adapter, what you're doing is you're trying to find out if the resource adapter is delivering messages to the MDB. And you'll notice the next line also has a resource adapter trace parameter. And then you've got a couple more, JFAP channel and MFP, which is Messages Format Protocol. That's more detailed stuff, usually not needed with stuck messages on a queue. But anyways, they're there just in case. But the resource adapter and the message trace are the real key ones here. It says this trace string will show when messages are delivered to the MDB and how long the MDB is spending inside the onMessage method. The more time it spends in on-message the worse the performance. In other words, when a message is delivered to the bean, is the bean processing that message quickly, say a few milliseconds, say 5 or 10, or is it spending a lot of time in on message, in other words, spending a lot of time processing the message? If it's spending a lot of time processing the message, there's a problem. But how do you tell if it's spending a lot of time processing a message? That's terribly useful information, but how can you find out if that, how long it's taking? Let's go to the next slide, please, slide 24. Okay. This is some of the things you want to look for inside a trace. You can take a trace, you can help yourself by looking for these basic things. Messaging messages in the traces start with CWSJU. Those are the type of messages you're going to look for. And let's look at this first one. It's for putting a message on a queue. So whenever an application puts a message or sends a message to a queue, you're going to see this first message, which is CWSJU0004I. And it says a message with message ID, and then it gives a big long string there in green. System message ID null and correlation ID null. Those could, there could be values there, but in this case they're null. This put to queue and then the name of the queue. So that tells you when a message is put to a queue, and it tells you exactly which message. It gives you the ID of the message. Now the next message, it says a message being consumed or removed from a queue. So let's, what does the message look like when that message is removed from the queue? Well, in the trace, you'll see CWSJU0041I. I means informational. And here again, it starts off with the message ID, and then it gives the system message ID, which we assign to it once it's on the bus, and a correlation ID, and it says, was delivered to a consumer. Number four in this case, from destination, same destination name. So these two messages tell us when a particular message was sent to the queue, and the next message tells us when it was delivered to a message, or delivered to an MDB. Okay? And you'll notice that the message ID is the same for both, and which means that they pertain to the same message, and that the message is delivered. That means it was passed to an MDB. Okay? When the next message is delivered to an MDB, it tells you how long the MDB spent in the on message method. There's some other things you can look for, too, that are actually at a lower level that I don't get into here, but my point is this. If you have a destination, for example, this one's called ql.biglongname.out2, how often are messages delivered to a consumer from that destination? And if it turns out that, 100 messages are delivered per second, then obviously they're being delivered quickly. But if they're, if it's only 2 messages per minute, then obviously the message delivery is taking a long time. It's not delivering the message, it's processing the message. So message delivery itself only takes a couple of milliseconds. What's taking a long time is that the MDB is taking a long time to process the message before the next message can be delivered. So all these messages are lined up in a row sequentially, and only one at a time can be delivered and processed to the MDB. And if you see a CWSJU0041I message, say once or twice a minute or maybe even once or twice a second, that might be too long in your environment, that gives you a very good idea how long the message is taking to get processed. So this is absolutely crucial to look for. If you see a performance problem or what you think is a performance problem with your MDBs, this is what you want to look for in the trace. How many times per minute or so does this 0041I message occur? That gives you a very good idea of how fast your MDB is performing. Also, there are some other messages you'll see in there. I wanted to give one example because it's a bit of a mystery for most people. And the last one is CWSJU003I. And this is the message you see when a message is being transferred from one messaging engine to another, as is often the case with some environments. I just wanted to put it in there because people ask about it sometimes. There you have it. That's what it means. But it doesn't have anything to do with messages being delivered to your MDB. That's the important one. Okay, next slide, please. Slide 25. Okay. here we go with a little more under the covers activity. Checking MDB activity in Trace. When an MDB is connected to service integration bus, a trace of MDB activity will show very specific messages that indicate MDB activity. For example, an MDB is invoked, in other words, the onMessage method is called when you see the following type of message. Now note that the 0000045 is the thread number here. So when an MDB is invoked, in other words, when it started, you'll see a message like this, JMS JCA endpoint, and then invoke endpoint. That means start the MDB. And you'll notice right below that it says entry. So that's when you're starting the MDB. Now at this point, the MDB will enter its onMessage method. When onMessage completes and returns, in other words, where it's all done with that message and it's ready for the next one, this next trace entry will appear. It's the same basic components and method, but you'll notice it says exit. Now, the key here is to look at the timestamp differences between the entry and the exit calls. Notice that in this case, the timestamp is obviously the first thing in each line, shows the date, and the timestamp is 18:12:41 and 937 milliseconds at the entry point. And notice it's exactly the same at the exit point, same exact time. That means that that message processed in 1 millisecond or less, which is very fast. So there's no performance problem here. What we frequently see is long delays between entry and exit points where the timestamps start off, you know, at some time, but then maybe 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds later, we finally get to exit. That literally is measuring the amount of time the MDB is taking to process that message. So this is even more accurate and more detailed than the CWSJU messages we just looked. The CWSJU messages are great for a quick analysis of how long your beans are taking to process messages. This is very specific. It says on this thread, it has to be the same thread number, when you go into entry and exit, that tells you exactly how long that bean took. That's crucial. When you get enough of those that are taking a long time, you've probably got a performance problem. Okay, next slide, please, slide 26. Okay, the other thing we see is hangs inside of on message. So in other words, our message gets passed to the bean and then nothing happens, or it seems like nothing happens from a user perspective. Meanwhile, messages are still being sent to the queue and they're accumulating. So reading from the top, it says, in situations where the onMessage method is not returning or completing in a timely manner, it's a good idea to gather Java cores against the JVM where the MDB runs. And real quickly, before I continue, if you take a trace and you see long delays between entry and exit for invoke endpoint, or you see long delays between the CWSJU messages where it shows message deliveries, that means the bean is taking a long time to process messages. At that point, you want to move from the trace to Java Core as your second tool in your kit. Java cores are going to show you what is going on inside the bean, why it's taking so long. So that's where we're at now. So I'll continue reading. It says, ideally, at least 3 Java cores should be taken every 30 to 60 seconds, typically, until a total of at least 3 or 4 Java cores have been gathered. The Java cores should be taken against the JVM the bean runs on. You know, the frequency with which you take Java cores depends on the activity. If it looks like your beans are taking 15 seconds on average to process a message, then take a Java core every 10 seconds or 5 seconds. But if it looks like they're taking really long periods of time, then 30 to 60 seconds is not unreasonable, and that's a pretty frequent common thing. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Java cores or maybe passingly familiar with them, a Java core is nothing more than a snapshot of the JVM. In other words, it's almost like a photograph. It shows you what each thread in that JVM is doing, or in that server is doing, okay? So, reading on, it says Java cores will reveal where inside the onMessage method the application is spending so much time. That's what we're looking for. Once onMessage is called, we usually enter non-SIB code. Code that executes from this point forward is the responsibility of the owner of this code. Many times this code will stop executing for any number of reasons, But in most cases, execution stops because the code is waiting for something to happen. A good example would be when the code is waiting on a response from some other component, such as another EJB or a database. In these situations, Java cores will show the MDB thread is stuck in the same part of the code for a long period of time. And then I'm going to show you an example of Java core next. But before we get to that, there's two basic MDB types of failures. One of them is we deliver a message to the MDB tries to process the message, and then there's some sort of an exception thrown for some reason. And we typically see this with, for example, if the JMS message has passed the MDB, has some sort of malformed XML or something like that, we'll often see something, an exception about, malformed XML. That's fairly common. Or some parameter or some field that's missing a value or something like that. And then the message gets rolled back to the destination. And then we'll retry. And as you now know, retries by default will occur 5 times. So in those situations, an exception is thrown by the MDB, so we know what's going on. However, when an MDB hang occurs, like we're talking about now, there is no exception. It just stops processing. And so it's a bit of a mystery what it's doing. Java cores will show you what it's doing. So, again, Java cores are like a photograph of the JVM to show you what everybody inside that JVM is doing at that moment. So let's look at one Java core that's a pretty good example. So let's move to slide 27, please. Okay, when you take a Java core, it shows you all the different threads in the JVM. You're looking for a thread that has the onMessage method in it. And this is a real call stack from a real Java core and a real situation. You always read call stacks from the bottom. And you, by the way, these are the same kinds of call stacks you'll see in system out logs when an exception is thrown. These are exactly the same. There's no difference. You always read these from the bottom. And I've numbered the lines 1 through 22 at the top. And notice at the top where it says, in this case, it says default colon 0. That's the name of the thread, okay? And then, again, you read from the bottom and go up. And very quickly here, you'll notice the first few lines, the first line says com/IBM, which tells you we're an IBM code, /ws/util/threadpool$worker.run. Worker.run, worker's the class, run is the method. So this means start a new thread. So we go up a few lines, and then in line number 3, you'll notice it says com IBM, which again this means we're in IBM code, WSSIB, now we're in SIB code, RA, that's resource adapter. So now you know the resource adapter is involved. And continuing to the right on that line, that same line, line number 3, it says SIB, RA, single process listener, et cetera, et cetera. Now you know we're in the resource adapter code. The only time we go in the resource adapter code is when we're going to deliver a message. So you know an MDB is going to be involved. So when you go up to line number 6, it says $proxy7, don't worry about that for the purposes of this, education, .onMessage. So now you've already been familiarized with this on message thing and what that means. That means we're calling an MDB. We're starting up an MDB. We're going to pass a message to it. So you go up the next couple of lines, then go up to line number 9 where it's in bold. And it says com/company1. In other words, some company, some third party. We're not an IBM code anymore. We're in some other company's party, or some other company's code rather. And then off to the right on that same line, line number 9, it says Q consumer bean. That's the name of their MDB. That's magic information right there. That's the information that we can use. If we know the name of the MDB that's supposed to consume messages off of a queue, and we know it's not working, we can find it here in this call stack. And then you see it calls the onMessage method. So now we're passing the message to the MDB. And the rest of the lines above that show what happens inside the MDB and the kind of work it's doing with the message. Now, you may not be able to tell exactly what it's doing with the message, but you'll be able to tell some things. If you go up to line number 13, it says com/company1, so we're still in company 1 code. But then look at line number 14. It says com/company3. Now we're in some other third-party piece of code, okay? And you'll notice on line number 14, if you go to the right, the class says SQL map client impl. Okay, that means SQL. That means databases. Okay, so now it looks like we're going to get into some database code. And sure enough, as you go up, you'll notice at line 19, you'll notice that you'll see highlighted in black there, it says JDBC. That means we're connecting to a database. Okay? So we've gone from delivering the message to the bean called Q Consumer Bean. We've gone into somebody else's code, some third party. Then we've gone into somebody else's third party code, and we're calling their JDBC code. So we're going to use that third party code to connect to a database. And as you go up to, say, line 21, it says com/company3/common/JDBC, so you know we're going to connect to a database. And then it says simple data source dot get connection. So we're obviously getting a connection to a database, okay? Then look at the line above that, and this is crucial. It's the same class, simple data source, but the method is dot pop connection. Now, why is that highlighted in red, and why off to the right does it say hang? Because if you take three Java cores and all three Java cores show this thread, which in the upper left corner says default colon zero, if it shows the same thread stuck in exactly the same spot in each Java core, in other words, dot pop connection is the last thing at the top, that means this thread is hung, very, very likely. So what's happening here is that this MDB is connected to a database, and it's waiting for a response from the database. Now, I don't know exactly what pop connection does internally, but I know that it's connected to a database. So this is the area of code that needs to be investigated. This is why message processing is taking forever. This is where the hang is. So that's basically how you read these call stacks. And if you go to slide 28, please, the next slide. Here, I walk you through exactly what I just walked you through, okay? So this explains what I just took you through. It's exactly the same thing. It tells you how to read this. Now, look at this bottom paragraph. It says, if at least one other Java core shows this same thread in the exact same code, in other words, the stack is exactly the same, with pop connection at the top in this case, and the customer complains that this MDB, this in this case called Q Consumer Bean, isn't consuming messages, then this MDB is hung in pop connection or whatever is at the top of the stack. The MDB is probably waiting for a response from the database. So the database, not the MDB, is the real problem. Why is the database taking forever to respond? That's the real issue. So that's how you can read a call stack. That was a quick 5-minute lesson in this, but you get the basic idea. And again, this slide walks you through it. I won't read all that to you because I basically just read it to you when I walked you through the call stack. But if you ever need a refresher, this tells you exactly how to do it. So that's how you read these call stacks, and that's how you can use a Java core to figure out what your MDB is doing and why it is not consuming messages, exactly where the problem is. In this case, it was waiting on a database. In this particular example, sometimes it's something else. We're waiting on another EJB or a web service, or who knows. You never know what you're going to find in a Java core. And many times, customers don't know immediately what their own MDB is doing, so Java cores can shed a lot of light very quickly on a bad situation. So anytime you have a problem with message consumption or what appears to be a performance problem, I highly recommend, number one, you take traces to give you a good idea of how long you're spending in the on-message method, and number two, take Java cores to see what's going on inside the on-message method, what specifically inside the code is taking so long. And slide number 29, please. Okay, quick summary. I know we're getting short on time here. It says, this presentation was an introduction to using MDBs for message consumption and service integration bus. It covered basic MDB operation, resource adapters, and how to configure them with activation specifications. It also covered some important advanced features of activation specifications that can improve messaging performance. And lastly, we discussed MDB diagnostics, including trace and Java core analysis. We hope you found this presentation helpful, and we always look forward to your questions. So with that, I'll pass it back to Kathy for any questions from anybody.
Thank you, John C. and Ty, for a great presentation. We'd like to move on to the question and answer session.
Kathy, this is Ty. There is one question that has popped up that was not addressed in this presentation, but it's a good question, and that is, we know now, if you're new to this, that the resource adapter is the piece of code that executes and connects the MDB to a queue or a topic, some JMS destination. And the question is well, what happens if the two things. First of all, what happens if the resource adapter goes down or somehow becomes disconnected from the JMS provider, in this case, Service Integration Bus? If, let's say that you have messages on the destination and the resource adapter is happily delivering those messages to the MDB and there's no problems, and then, for whatever reason, let's say that there's a network interruption or something, and let's say that the resource adapter becomes disconnected from the bus, from the messaging engine it was connected to. Well, if that happens, the resource adapter, remember, MDBs have no connectivity code in them at all. That's one of the things we highlighted repeatedly in this presentation. So that means that the MDB, it doesn't even know if it's connected or not. So the resource adapter has the responsibility of making sure that if it becomes disconnected, that that situation is handled properly. And in WebSphere Application Server, it will be. The resource adapter will automatically reconnect to the bus and begin delivering messages immediately to the MDB. So it'll resume its messaging functions very quickly. You can oftentimes see that in the logs when this happens. So the resource adapter is smart enough to know that there's a problem and it will reconnect automatically. Now, if the JMS provider itself goes down, in other words, the resource adapter is happily delivering messages to the MDB, and then the JMS provider goes down, for example, the messaging engine, and then when the messaging engine restarts, the resource adapter should reconnect to it and resume messaging functions. In other words, these sorts of failures should be fairly transparent to the customer. And people sometimes open PMR saying, hey, I found this exception. So if there's a failure of this type, we will log an exception, but we should be reconnecting automatically, and I'm not aware of any known issues where we're not doing that. So if a failure like that does occur, it's true that we'll log an exception. It could be alarming if you see it, but we will reconnect automatically. So most of the time you can ignore those situations because the reconnection happens very quickly. So any other questions?
There is one more in the – I'm not certain if you addressed this one, Ty. But in the things is how the EJB transaction manager works with MBD and DB.
Yeah, that's something we touched upon a little bit. That's a little more advanced. We didn't get really into it in this presentation. But for every message that's delivered to an MDB or is in the process of being delivered, there is a transaction that's created automatically by the EJB container. The MDB doesn't have to do any of that. It's all handled automatically. So, and that's why if there is a failure to process the message for some reason, then what happens when an exception is thrown, the whole transaction gets rolled back and message delivery starts all over again with a brand new transaction. But all the transaction stuff is handled by the, it's between the EJB container and the resource adapter. It's a joint maneuver, but it's not anything that the customer has to worry about, and I'm not aware of any problems with that code. It seems to work very well, actually. But the customer is right. The EJB container is the one that controls all that, and there should be, I believe, one transaction for every message or every batch of messages, which typically is 5. So you can look at that stuff by taking a transaction trace, and I'm not terribly expert with the transaction code. If you take a transaction trace to look at that sort of behavior activity, it's very, very verbose, so it produces a lot of output, so just be aware of that if you're interested in looking at that in more detail. Okay, any other questions?
One last one. Will you get transaction timeout on queue consumer bean example?
Okay, I think the question there would be, let's say, in normal messaging, in other words, if everything is operating normally, no, you're not going to get any transaction timeouts. Can you get a transaction timeout when with message consumption if something goes wrong? Yes, you can. I've seen that before where we deliver a message to an MDB, but for some reason it's taking a long time and the transaction times out. I think the default for these transactions is something along the lines of 2 minutes. I could be wrong. And that this is a configurable parameter, too, so it's not always the default that the customer has. And in fact, transaction timeouts is something that's frequently changed by customers, but I think the default is 2 minutes for these, but it might be 30 seconds, and it depends on what's set in, I think it's a server configuration. It doesn't really have anything to do with the MDB or even the resource adapter, which is a little bit out of my area of expertise, but the generic answer is yes, you can get transaction timeouts, although that doesn't occur very frequently. At least I haven't seen it very often. Most of the time, if you're looking for transaction timeouts to be the tip off that something is wrong, most customers don't see transaction timeouts as the tip off. Usually, what they observe is messages stacking up on a queue, and that's usually the first thing they notice. And then from there on, it's normal troubleshooting, traces, Java cores, and so on. Transactions and problems with transactions don't come up very often when you're troubleshooting MDBs, very rarely actually. So I wouldn't worry too much about transactions. They're handled automatically by the container and the resource adapter, and they're very good at that. So if you have a timeout, then you have a timeout. That obviously indicates a performance problem, but usually most people notice a performance problem before a timeout occurs because they see messages stacking up on a queue. So I hope that answers that question.
Okay. And I don't see anything else in the chat room. So, again, I'd like to thank you all for your participation and coming today. I'd like to thank our speakers for a great presentation and great Q&A session. Thank you very much, John C. and Ty, for presenting today.
Oh, thank you.